John chapter 13. The message today is about making and losing friends. I want to read you several scriptures and then put them together as we go along. John 13, and look at verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth my bread lifted up his heel against me. And that is from Psalm 41, which I may tell you about later. He that eateth my bread hath lifted up his heel against me. Now chapter 15. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. And now, chapter 21. Or 19, John 19, and look at verse 12. John 19, 12. Upon this, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone that maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. They therefore cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king, but Caesar. Then therefore, he delivered him unto them to be crucified. Now, Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 8. And the Lord commended the unrighteous steward because he had done wisely. For the sons of this world are for their own generation wiser than the sons of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into eternal tabernacles. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 16. But you shall be delivered up even by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall be caused to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And now, chapter 23, verse 5. Our Savior is before Pilate being examined. But the Jews, his accusers, were more urgent, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, and beginning from Galilee, even unto this place. But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And when he knew that he was of Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him unto Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem in these days. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was of a long time desirous to see him, because he had heard concerning him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers set him at naught and mocked him, arraying him in a gorgeous apparel, sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before, they were at enmity between themselves. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for all the things that you tell us about the human heart. We thank you for all the experiences between man and man, and man and woman, and woman and woman, for our learning. Let us know that often we feel as if the things that we experience are unique. We see from your word that the same things that occur in our lives have been occurring in the lives of the people of God from the beginning. And we are thankful that you comment on these things and tell us what to do about them, explain them, and edify us because of the mistakes that people have made in the past. We are thankful that in the scriptures, you tell us who truly are our friends and who are our enemies. And we desire this day to learn about making friends and losing them, our God. We thank you for the blessings thus far. We have remembered your Son. We have worshipped you in spirit and in truth to the best of our ability. And now, as your Son taught us, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That is what we desire to do. So, by your Spirit, take the Word of God and feed it to those who are yours this day, and show us the way of salvation and the way of goodness and truth, and make this a profitable time, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are so many books, especially nowadays, on the subject of how to win friends and influence people. Now, that was a book that was put out years and years ago. And people looked at it, and they got the gist of it. And so since then, they've been writing books telling you how to win friends and influence people. And some of the things in that book are very good, excellent advice. But some of them, if you follow them, you would lose your self-respect, and there would be no truth and integrity in your heart. But interesting to read such books as those. But the Word of God tells you how to win friends, and it also tells you how to lose friends. And it tells us about those who were enemies with one another, but became friends, and how some were friends with one another, but they became enemies. And strange to say, the Lord Jesus would have us who are friends at times if conduct is of such a nature that one who was our close friend is to be regarded as a heathen and as a publican man. And so the Bible teaches us about how to win friends and how to lose friends. And it tells us also that some are never to be our friends. We just found about two. We found that there was one who was in a position to pronounce judgment that was true or to pronounce judgment that was false. And that man had this challenge put before him. When he saw that the Lord Jesus was innocent, he was going to release the Savior. And then those that were the enemies of the Lord Jesus knew precisely what to say to that man to reverse the true judgment of innocence and make it a judgment of guilty. They said, if you release that man, you are not Caesar's friend. And when he heard that, he was shattered for the simple reason that if he were reported to Caesar as being one that was a friend of Jesus, who was releasing a man that was rebelling against Caesar and what he stood for, then he, who had Caesar as his friend, would be an enemy of Caesar, and all would be lost. And so Pilate, very wisely, as a man of this world, it says the children of this world are wiser for their own generation, what he did was to abandon Jesus. The solution to that problem was simple. If you have someone that is innocent, but pronouncing innocency is going to cost you your position in the world and your friendship with a tyrant, then you just abandon this friend and remain friends with Caesar. And then again, James tells us about the world. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. So the Lord tells us that the world is a friend that can give you ever so many pleasures and delights and comforts. But he says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And he tells you also about Caesar and being his friend. If you have friends that are in high places, they can do ever so many favors for you. They can promote you. They can protect you. They can do all of these things. But what the Word of God does is to tell us about how to win friends, how to eschew those that want to be our friends on their own terms, and it tells us how to lose friends. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is the greatest example of it. Now, some people know nothing about winning friends. I remember I saw something that was always so funny to me. There was this man that was lying on a psychologist's couch, and he said to the psychologist, he said, I cannot understand why I cannot make a friend with anyone. I cannot open my mouth without making people my enemies. Baldy. You see, there are some people who always say the wrong thing, and they never know it. There are some people who talk too much. There are some people who talk too little. There are some people who always say the wrong thing, and they wonder, why is it that I have so few friends, and the ones that I do have seem to be so unfaithful to me? So the Bible tells us about friends, and I did not read you from Psalm 41, but the sad thing is this. One who had a friend, and that friend turned on him, was David. David, when he married Bathsheba, was probably not aware how what he had done to Uriah the Hittite and to Bathsheba would affect Ahithophel, his friend, but you read carefully and you'll find out that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And when Ahithophel saw what David had done to his granddaughter Bathsheba, he who had been his counselor became his enemy. And if he is the one that's spoken about in Psalm 41, David says this, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, that eateth my bread, that had meals with me, has lifted up his heel against me. So, what the Savior does in the New Testament, and that's what we were reading about in John 13, the Savior said in John 13 that he who eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And he said that the scripture might be fulfilled. There's a lesson here, and I want you to remember it. There are some who, when they see any brief reference in the scripture, they want to make the whole scripture apply to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus knew precisely what part of this portion of the psalm applied to him. Because the psalm says concerning David and Ahithophel, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted has lifted up his heel against me. Now, it would have been wrong in thinking of Judas and his friendship with the Lord Jesus to say that Judas was a friend that Jesus trusted, that he was deceived by, that the Savior never knew what he was doing when he chose Jesus. But you'll find as early as John chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus knew who Jesus was, knew that he was a deceiver. It says as early as John chapter 2 that people that associated themselves with Jesus, it says he did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. He did not need for anybody to tell him what was in the heart of man. But this much is true, that the Lord Jesus, who brought Judas Iscariot out of obscurity, he would never have been known in the history of the world unless he was associated with Jesus. And the Lord Jesus chose him, understand, chose him not to eternal life, but chose him to be one of the apostles. It says that this one who ate my bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. So think of this. Think of one who had, humanly speaking, been a friend of Jesus, but then turns on Jesus and becomes his enemy. That is a sad thing. I've been telling you in past weeks about friends and enemies, about some who were enemies but became friends of God, but there are also those who outwardly are friends of God, but then something occurs and they become enemies of God. And this is what happened to God's followers, those that profess to be children of God, but turn out to be like a Judas Iscariot. It happened to the Savior over and over again. Let me tell you about those, because I would assume that if one comes and listens to you preach and sits under your teaching, that you would call him your friend. And so our Savior in John chapter 6 has ever so many disciples that are following him. But our Savior continued to speak to those disciples. And finally, it says, when our Savior spoke too much of the truth, it says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And so Jesus was quite familiar with losing friend after friend after friend. And I hope that you are too. I wonder if you're prepared to lose friends because of truth. Because let me tell you, just how to lose friends. Because the Bible tells us that. One of the best ways to lose friends is to tell them the truth. That's why you read all the time about a certain kind of lie. You've heard of white lies. You've heard of lies because I could not bring myself to tell the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ always told the truth. If you were in the presence of a woman who was a sinner of a kind that involved her body, this is what the Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria. She was talking about her life, and the Lord Jesus told her all about her life. And he said to her, he said, you have had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You spoke of truth. And it says in Luke chapter 7 so beautifully, there was a woman who in the city was a sinner. And if someone comes to the Lord Jesus and ask, what do you think of me? The Lord Jesus would say, you're a sinner. But he would tell them in such a way that unless they were hypocrites, it would be as gentle as possible. But he would always tell them the truth. And when he told them the truth, some of them accepted the truth, and some of them hated the truth, and some of them were prepared to kill him because he told them the truth. If you read the epistle to the Galatians, this is what Paul asked them. He said, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? And that's the best way and the quickest way to make an enemy. If a person stands up and sings and has a terrible voice and they say, tell me the truth, what do you think of my singing? And you say to them, it was terrible. I assure you, they will not love you anymore. And also, some people that preach and they come up and say, tell me the truth about what you think of my preaching. If you want to lose a friend, tell them the truth what you think about their preaching. I remember one lady that did. I was with two preachers at a conference years ago. And one of them was a preacher to the children and two others were preaching to adults. And I'd never met this one that was preaching to the children. And I asked one sister, I said, tell me, what gift does this man have? And she said, he has no gift. Now, you never say that. There's some way you go about, and I tell you the truth, because I do not like to needlessly lose friends. I listen intently to everyone when I go and preach. At times I'm preaching with those with great reputation, and I always listen carefully, and usually I can find something in the message they say that I can honestly go up to them and tell them that that was an excellent portion that you brought to our attention. You see, you do not have to harm them, but then at times you have to. I've known those, and you have known them as well, who wanted commendation, wanted you to send them out as those that could be help to the children of God. And you have to say, no, you are not qualified, you are not gifted for that position. And then they become your enemy. But this is one of the best ways to lose friends. Tell them the truth. The Galatians were influenced by false teachers that came in and told them this. Yes, you have to believe in Jesus, but then you have to be circumcised, and you have to keep the law of Moses, and if you do all of these things, add them all together, and you can be saved. And the Apostle Paul said, this gospel is a gospel of Satan. And he said, if I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any gospel other than the first gospel I preached to you, which was salvation by grace through faith, let him be accursed. Now, not many people can accept that. But some can, because in the book of Proverbs it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And if there is truth and integrity and love for the Lord in your heart, if some friend comes and wounds you by telling you the truth, understand that he is not making you his enemy. He is trying to preserve you as his friend. But Paul said, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? So one of the best ways to lose friends is to tell the truth. And the next best way is to take a stand for the truth. There are those who believe various things, and nowadays, especially in the area of morality, they are departing from the truth of God's word. And all you have to do is not to say anything, but just take a stand for the truth, as John the Baptist did. When Herod married his brother's wife, John the Baptist went to him and said, you cannot have your brother's wife. It's unlawful. You see, here was fornication that was being committed, and John the Baptist took a stand against it. And eventually, it alienated Herod and also that woman that he had married, and they cut off John's head. So take a stand for the truth. And I've seen friends, and this is what is so heartbreaking, that have had children. I remember one that I used to preach with, and others, and then you tell them about adultery. This is not going to be tolerated. And they hit you, and they ostracize you, and they cut you off. Well, because John the Baptist is head, and standing for the true gospel of the grace of God, it cost the Apostle Paul some of those that were followers of his in Galatia, that he remained the friend of God. And that's the most important thing in the world. When it comes to discipline, Paul lost his best friend. Do you realize that? Here was John Mark, who went out with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And when they came to a certain place where they were to serve God, John Mark said, "I cannot go on. I'm not serving the Lord." And he went back home to Jerusalem. Now, after that had happened, the Apostle Paul looked at this young man, and remember, he was Barnabas' nephew. He was his relative. And when this happened, Paul evaluated just what was in that young man. But he was Barnabas' kinsman. And so later on, when they were going out on another missionary journey, Barnabas said, "Let's go and take John Mark with us." The Apostle Paul said, "No, don't you understand that he has deserted us and he is not matured enough to go with us?" But Barnabas said, "He is going with us." And the Apostle Paul said, "He's not going with us." And those two that were dearest friends, that friendship broke up. Why? Because the Apostle Paul was not going to take along one whom he believed to be unqualified, even if it cost him his best friend. And I do not know if the children of God are prepared to lose their best friend for standing for the truth. Are you? Are you? You'll see, somehow they will reject that. Somehow they will get around it and will not take a stand for the truth. The Lord Jesus always took a stand for the truth. John the Baptist took a stand for the truth. The Apostle Paul took a stand for the truth. And it cost them disciples and friends, and it cost them their life. And so the Bible tells you how to lose friends. Just tell them the truth and take a stand for the truth, and you will lose friends. But the friends that you lose are the ones that should never have been your friends. You find imperfections in people that you did not know were there at first. You find that in Barnabas, that excellent man, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, but you find that there was a weakness in him when it came to those that were his kinfolk, those that were his friends, and he was able to make excuses to overlook sins in their lives because he didn't want to lose them. Our Savior never did it. When all his disciples turned away from him and left him, he turned to the 12 and he said, "Would you also go away?" And I hope that that's what we are prepared to do. If everybody, as small as this meeting is, are prepared to leave because you tell them the truth and take a stand for the truth, I hope that the rest of us will have courage to say to the few still that remain, "Are you going to leave?" But lying is lying, and discipline is discipline, and obedience to the Word of God is of paramount importance. And this is what God is telling us. And so it tells us how to lose friends. Let me tell you this. Our Savior tells us how to lose a friend in Matthew 18. He says, "If one that is your brother in Christ," he said, "I've called you friends. If one of your friends in Christ sins against you, first of all, because you are his friend, you go to him and speak to him privately alone. And if he hears you, you gain your brother. Thank God. But if he doesn't hear you, you're not to drop it. It says you're to take one or two more and tell them, along with him, the fault. And if you will not hear them, it says, do not drop it. Go and tell it to the church. And if this one who is sinned will not hear the church, the Lord Jesus says, let him be unto you as a heathen and as a publican man. Are you prepared to do that? Are you? And so the Lord Jesus is telling you that one who in the past had a relationship of being your friend, he says, let him be as your enemy. Now, until that last drastic step has been taken, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that if one is just going along, he's sinning, but there's a chance of recovery, it says, admonish him. Do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him. And that's what we are to do. You see, he's a friend. But when he refuses to bow the knee to the word of God, then our Savior says, let him be to you as a heathen man, as a publican. That means he's to be as an outcast. Until when? Until what time? And thank God. Thank God. Our Savior also tells us how to win people. You see, it did seem extreme. Our Savior says that friends, if they sin and will not repent, are to be counted as outcasts. He tells us that in Matthew 18. But he says this, and this is for some hardened Christians who, when friends sin against them and they want to be restored, will not restore them. And that's what Peter asked. You'll find I could have read it to you in Luke. He said, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So 7 times? And Christ said, so 70 times 7. He said, if he sin against you and come and say, I repent, he said, you shall forgive me. You know, in my whole life long, all the people that have sinned against me, I cannot recall one coming and saying, perhaps one almost did, one coming and saying, what I did was wrong, I sinned against you and the people of God, I repent. I think that if such a thing happened, I would embrace him with a love that I did not have for him before, and we would become the closest kind of friend. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 18. It says that when friendships are broken, when you have arguments and contention, it says a friend lost is harder to be won than a walled city. Think, in olden days, of vast, giant walled cities, and you are to go and take that walled city. It says, a friend offended is harder to be regained as a friend than a walled city, or it says, as bars of a castle. Think of these iron bars that shut people out of a castle. And it says, once you have offended a friend, and it may be because you told him the truth, you took a stand for the truth. It says he's harder to be won back than a walled city or bars of a castle. But you try. You see, when a person sins against you, you go and tell him his fault, not to alienate him, but to try to win him back. You see that if there's sin in your life, you cannot have fellowship with a sinning Christian who will not desist from that sin, and you cannot have fellowship with the people of God if they will not desist from continuing in sin. And the Lord Jesus tells us that. But he says this, how great the sin is if they come and with sincerity say, I repent, then you are to embrace them. But notice what repentance is. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. And so if someone comes up and says, I repent, and there's no change of life, it is included that this person that's living in sin, and he says, I repent, and he's going immediately out the door and continue in sin, there is no true repentance. But if one has sinned against you, and there is true repentance, and he comes and tells you that, the Lord Jesus says that he is to be forgiven. And so, these are some of the ways to make friends and to lose friends. We're to retain friendship in every way possible. Let us be wise in retaining friends. But let us not be unwise in keeping friends that Jesus has told us to renounce his friends until what time they repent. Now, time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're so glad for all the friends that you've given us, for every child of God that once was in the world and of the world, but they've been born again, and they've come and become part of your family. We're so thankful for every friend. And our Father, we would do everything in our power, scripturally, to keep them as our friends. But we pray that we shall also obey your Son, who tells us about these relationships, and be prepared, because of truth, and the sense of the truth, to lose those that we thought were our friends. Our God, we are so sad to think of Paul and Barnabas, and of John the Baptist, and Herod, and the Lord Jesus, and all his disciples. But our Father, there is the loss of friends, and we are thankful that there is also the gaining of friends. So let us love the truth, and be able to suffer the consequences of standing for it, speaking it, living it. Help us to be those that are friends indeed, that maintain our friendship with thy Son, who said, you are my friends if you do the things I command you. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.